शिवा सदी गौर भक्तवृंद की जय। श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोपी गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंद नर कुंद गिरि गोवर्धन की जय। वृंदावन धाम की जय। मायापुर धाम की जय। नवद्वीप धाम की जय। जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की जय। इस्कॉन मंत्रया की जय। इस्कॉन फ्लडिंग द होल वर्ल्ड विद कृष्ण प्रेम की जय। गंगा माई की जय। जामुन माई की जय। भक्ति देवी की जय। तुलसी देवी की जय। सामवेद भक्तवृंद की जय।
Gaur Premananda,
all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to Shri Shri Guru and Gauranga, all glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Nama Om Vishnu Pradaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nivishesha Shunyavadi Paschacha Desha Tarine. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for coming today to participate in the Hare Krishna movement. This movement is the prime benediction for humanity at large because it is spreading the rays of the benediction moon of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Today we are going to study a wonderful verse. Actually, it is the most sweet, wonderful verse in the entire Bhagavad Gita. Chapter number 10, text number 10. Tesham sutave yuktanam bhajatam pratipurvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam enamam upayanti te. Lord Sri Krishna, out of His infinite sweet kindness, is speaking these words to Sri Arjuna. He says, to those who are constantly devoted to serving Me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to Me. Purport in this verse, the word buddhi yogam is very significant. We may remember that in the second chapter, the Lord, instructing Arjuna, said that He had spoken to him of many things and that He would instruct him in the way of buddhi yoga. Now, buddhi yoga is explained. Buddhi yoga itself is action in Krishna consciousness, that is the highest intelligence. Buddhi means intelligence and yoga means mystic activities or mystic elevation. When one tries to go back home, back to Godhead, and takes fully to Krishna consciousness in devotional service, his action is called buddhi yoga. In other words, buddhi yoga is the process by which one gets out of the entanglement of this material world. The ultimate goal of progress is Krishna. People do not know this. Therefore, the association of devotees and a bona fide spiritual master are important. One should know that the goal is Krishna. And when the goal is assigned, then the path is slowly but progressively traversed and the ultimate goal is achieved. When a person knows the goal of life, rather when a person knows the goal of life, but is addicted to the fruits of activities, he is acting in karma yoga. When he knows that the goal is Krishna, but he takes pleasure in mental speculations to understand Krishna, he is acting in jnana yoga. And when he knows the goal and seeks Krishna completely in Krishna consciousness and devotional service, he is acting in bhakti yoga or buddhi yoga, which is the complete yoga. This complete yoga is the highest affectional stage of life. A person may have a bona fide spiritual master and may be attached to a spiritual organization, but still if he is not intelligent enough to make progress, then Krishna from within gives him instructions so that he may ultimately come to Him without difficulty. Qualification is that a person must always engage himself in Krishna consciousness and with love and devotion render all kinds of services. He should perform some sort of work for Krishna, and that work should be done with love. If a devotee is not intelligent enough to make progress on the path of self-realization, but is sincere and devoted to the activities of devotional service, the Lord gives him a chance to make progress and ultimately attain to Him. Om Ajnana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Shakshurun Miritam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah. Of course, someone who is not trained in this science of Krishna consciousness, they would say, well, Krishna is saying, they come to me. Well, they may say, well, why should I even go to Krishna? You see, that doesn't attract them. Krishna says to those who are constantly devoted and serve me with love, I give them the understanding of which they can come to me. They say, I don't care, I don't want to go to Krishna. Why would I want to go to Krishna? I'd rather go to, you know, a cinema or a tavern or a brothel. Why would I want to go to Krishna? That would be the one thing to understand in this verse. What's in it for me is the standard mentality, and actually we all have that in this material world. What's in it for me? What's the advantage of going to Krishna? That's the first thing. And then once we understand the advantage of going to Krishna, then how to do that going to Krishna. So the first thing is to understand that our present situation in this world is we are caught up in this material existence, this material identity. We are identifying with the material body, which is asat, achit, nirananda. It's temporary, it's full of ignorance, full of misery. Krishna is in a different position. He is situated far beyond this material existence. He is Sat Chit Ananda, eternal, full of knowledge and bliss. Because we are qualitatively one with God by our very nature, because we are emanations from Him, just as a spark of the fire also has heat and light in it, although the portion is minute. The percentage of heat and light is much smaller than the complete fire. But because we are emanations from God, who is eternal, full of bliss and knowledge, we also have eternity, knowledge, and bliss as our constitutional birthright, actually. So the point is, if we misidentify with the material body, which is temporary, full of ignorance and full of misery, what are we doing? We are cheating ourselves big time. Big time cheating. You see? It's foolishness, actually. It's utter foolishness to misidentify with the material body and be caught up here in this material existence, trying to base our happiness on serving these temporary, limited senses. I can spend my whole life working very hard to keep this body comfortable and happy. You know, feed it nicely, give it a bath every day, you know, decorate it with clothing. So many things I can do, but what's the body going to reward me with? What will be the final conclusion? Death. If I told you I have a wonderful job for you, I have a great XYZ corporation has a fantastic opportunity for you, occupational, you know, career opportunity, and you dedicate your whole life working for this company, and it's great. You get immediate, instant sense gratification whenever you want it. Well, of course, the material world doesn't give us whatever we want it. Every now and then we get some. But even if you had it whenever you wanted it, what is the end result of XYZ Corporation? Oh, by the way, so our company doesn't get over full with employees, we have a special policy that one day we will take you out to the dumpster and we'll put a gun in your head and we'll shoot you and throw you in the dumpster. That's the retirement plan of this company. So even though they may pay very nicely, there may be all kinds of, you know, perks that go with the job. Would you want to work for a company that just surprises you someday? Okay, it's your turn. Come on out to the dumpster. Would you want to work for such a company? So why are you doing it now? That's the company you're working for right now. You're putting all your time, your energy, unless you're Krishna conscious. But I'm speaking about the general population. If you're all pure devotees, I'm not talking about you. But if you're if you're not in a category of a completely self-realized soul and you're still caught up in your bodily consciousness, then this applies to you to a greater or lesser extent. So right now we are in fact doing that. We are serving this temporary body which is going to reward us at any minute. Today, tomorrow, the next day, next year, we don't know. It's going to reward us with death. So is it really working so hard, with so much dedication, brushing the teeth, shaving the face, you know, whatever. All this work to keep the body nicely situated in a decorated apartment with the family members. We're working so hard to make some nice, comfortable arrangements, but all we're going to get is death out of it. So intelligent, this is a realization I had when I was in college. When I was a kid in college back in, you know, 65. Yeah, the fall of 65, I was thinking, you know, what's the purpose of all this? And I mean, I was a good student. I was in the honor, you know, the honor society. I was a leader. You know, I had all kinds of things going for me. I wasn't a failure materially. But I was thinking, what is the point of struggling to make the good grades so I can get the good job, so I can get the house, I can get the wife, get the kids? What's at the end? I get to go to St. Petersburg, Florida and play shuffleboard with the other senior citizens, right? Wow, whoopee. And finally they put me 6 feet under and every year I get some flowers on my grave until they forget about me. I just didn't see the purpose of working so hard for that. I said, there has to be something deeper than this. There really has to be. And we had one course on the campus. It was a course, it was an interesting course that it was an interdepartmental course held in a big lecture hall. One day you'd have a professor from the history department, the next day a professor from the, you know, the literature department. It was an interesting course. It gave you an overview of Western civilization from the philosophy department, history department. It was an interesting course, and of course the title was Basic Studies 101, and you know the abbreviation from that's BS. So we took BS 101, BS 102, BS 201, and PS 202. It really was a bull stool. There was no doubt about it. But anyway, we tried to understand. What is this great Western civilization? What is the great knowledge and wisdom that this Western civilization is giving us to understand who we are and what we can be? And there wasn't anything there. We learned about the Romans, the Marcus Aurelius, the Roman Stoic, who his philosophy was used to tolerate the suffering, just be tough in the face of the suffering. Well, that didn't really satisfy me. You just got to toughly, you know, with a stiff upper lip, just take the suffering. I mean, didn't sound very blissful to me. That's not the kind of life I wanted to live. I wanted to taste the nectar. I wanted to be enlivened at every minute and happy and joyful and celebrating life at every minute. So, it wasn't there. The Western civilization didn't have that, and by God's grace, gradually, through a sincere desire to find out what is the actual way to be happy, I came to the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada. So Prabhupada is actually giving us this system, the Bhakti Yoga system, which is described here in a nutshell by Sri Krishna. And it is simply a matter of doing everything in a mood of devotion to Krishna. You see, serving me with love is the statement here. So we have to actually serve Krishna, not begrudgingly that, oh, I don't want to do this, but I'll do it because I have to. No. We have to be enthusiastic. I want to chant Krishna's names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I want to clean his temple. I want to help the Ratha Yatra to be glorious because this is a wonderful opportunity to show Krishna how much I love him. That he can be glorified in front of thousands of people, in Montreal. So the idea is to get in this mood of doing, of being always engaged in serving Krishna with love in everything that you're doing. Whether you're living in the ashram, or you're living at home, whether you're going to school, whether you're working a job, raising a family. Learn how, under the guidance of the senior devotees and the spiritual master, learn the art of how to do absolutely everything 24 hours a day in devotion to Krishna with a loving spirit. And what is the result? What's the payoff of doing that? The result is that from within your heart, Krishna will actually give you the guidance and the understanding of how at every step you can proceed closer and closer and closer to Him. You may say, well, it's so far to Goloka Vrindavan, step by step, I mean, it's going to take me a long time to get there. But for every step you take towards Krishna, He takes 10 steps towards you. So it doesn't take, really, you can actually finish it up very quickly if you devote this one lifetime to Krishna. Just consider the math, you see. If you put $10 in, you get $100 back, you see. Then you put that $100 in, you get $1,000 back. You put $1,000 in, you get $10,000 back. You put $10,000 in, you get $100,000 back, $100,000 in, you get $1,000,000 back. So actually, very quickly, if you can get a 10-time return on an investment and then reinvest the money earned in a new investment, very quickly you can become the wealthiest person in the whole world, isn't it, mathematically? If you could do that, you would put Bill Gates in the poverty house, you see? So Krishna is willing to give us that kind of return on our energy spent in serving Him. So who is that fool who will not give their whole life to Krishna? Sorry, but we have to tell the truth here. I'm sitting on the Vyasa Sthana, I have to speak the truth. Anyone who will not give their life to Krishna is fool. Fool number one. Because by giving your life to Krishna, you reap unlimited rewards very quickly. Very, very quickly. It doesn't take long if you really take it up very seriously. There was one king, actually, in the old days in India, very powerful king. Actually, in those days, king meant king. Not these so-called kings now in the Kali Yuga. This king was powerful. Kadvanga Maharaj. He was so powerful that when the demons were attacking the demigods in the heavenly kingdom, the demigods asked Kadvanga to come to the heavenly planets to fight off the demons. He was such a powerful earthly king, you can imagine. The demigods asked his help. He was so powerful. So for long, long years, he battled against the demons and he actually defeated them. And the demigods were so pleased that he had saved their heavenly kingdom from the onslaught of the demons, the terrorists, you see. Then they said to him, whatever you want, we will give you. Just whatever boon you want, we will give you. You just tell us what you want. He's a very intelligent king. In those days, king were not only Raja, but they were Rishi also. Rishi, Raja, Raja and Rishi, Rajarshi. They were called Rajarshi because they were Raja and Rishi, both at the same time. They were saintly and they were powerful kings, same time. They had saintly quality and they're very powerful ruler also. So he knew that I shouldn't just try to enjoy this material existence. If I'm getting a boon from the powerful demigods, I should ask something very intelligent, very wise. So he said this. He said, how long will I live? That's all I want to know. Just give me that information, how long I'm going to live. The demigods have great wisdom of past, present, and future, and they could foresee his death was coming shortly. They said, well, you're dying in a minute. He said, thank you very much. He took complete shelter of Krishna and immediately achieved pure devotional service. So we don't know when we will leave these bodies, but we can know sure and certain it will come today, tomorrow, the next day, or the day after that. It's coming for each and every one of us. We are going to leave. The countdown is going on. Just like you have 10, 9, 8, 7, just consider a countdown that's going 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and when you hit 0, then you leave the body, you see. So each one of us has a countdown that's going on right now. We just don't know what number it's at. That's all. Every one of us has a countdown going on right now. It could be 9,999,000, you know what I mean? Every one of us has a countdown happening. We're clicking away towards leaving the body. So we should just prepare ourselves, since we don't know when it's coming, we should just prepare ourselves right now by putting ourselves in this mood of pure devotional service, because that will absolutely free us from all anxiety. Right now we're deriving our happiness from material sense enjoyment. But that puts us automatically in a position of anxiety, because the time of death, that sense enjoyment will be taken away from us. So therefore, instead of hanging on to sense enjoyment, we should hang on to our eternal relationship with God. That relationship is completely beyond whatever is happening in this material world. If we will just hold tightly onto our relationship with Krishna or God and learn how to derive unlimited happiness from that relationship, then we become completely impervious to whatever may happen in this material existence. There can be good things happening, there can be bad things happening, it won't matter. And for such a person, actually, everything becomes good because they see everything in relationship with God. So we're inviting you all that if you would like to really taste the nectar, if you would like to really be ecstatic at every moment, that every moment is a festive celebration. From the moment you wake up in the morning to the moment you take rest at night, you're absolutely ecstatic 24 hours a day, you see. If you would like to have a life like that, we can teach you how to have that. That life is available to anyone. It doesn't matter if you're living in an ashram, if you're working in a corporation, if you have your own business. In any position, you can be absolutely ecstatic in the bliss of pure Krishna bhakti. You simply have to take the training from the devotees and from spiritual master and from Prabhupada's wonderful books. And then you will actually be able to relish the sweetest nectar at every minute. Every minute will be delicious. Every moment of your life will be eating the most relishable dinner, you see. Every bite becomes more and more delicious. You never get filled up. It just keeps getting more and more delicious, more and more delicious. So this Krishna consciousness is nutritious, delicious, and auspicious. It nourishes the soul, it's ecstatic, and it creates any person who is engaged in Krishna consciousness, they create an auspicious atmosphere wherever they go. You see? Wherever there is a Krishna conscious person, someone who is really absorbed in Krishna consciousness, that place becomes transformed in the spiritual world. That place becomes Goloka Vrindavan, the spiritual world. Wherever there is a person who is purely absorbed in devotional service, wherever he sets foot, that place is transformed into Goloka Vrindavan. Because he carries Krishna within his heart, fully manifested every minute. So we saw such a personality in Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. And if we can take shelter of these wonderful teachings that Prabhupada is giving to us, accept him as our teacher, as our guru, you see, our mentor. If we can take these teachings of Srila Prabhupada and we can follow them very, very seriously, then I can guarantee you that we will be swimming in the sweetest ocean of nectar at every minute. We will be surfing on the waves of love of God. We'll catch that ultimate wave and ride it all the way back to Goloka Vrindavan, hanging 10 on the supreme wave of Krishna consciousness. So we invite you all that do not suffer anymore in this material existence. Give your life now to Lord Sri Krishna under the guidance of the bona fide spiritual master. Don't punish yourself anymore by not surrendering. You see? You're only torturing yourself by not surrendering to Krishna. Surrender yourself fully to Krishna under the guidance of Guru and Vaishnavas, and we can absolutely, completely guarantee that you will be the happiest person you could ever imagine. You could be even beyond your wildest imagination. And we are giving you a guarantee that if you sincerely try this process, to follow all the instructions of Guru and Vaishnavas for at least 6 months, and you don't find you're the happiest person you could ever imagine you could be, we will give you $10,000 cash. Guarantee. We backed this up with a $10,000 guarantee that if you will give this process your full sincerity, follow everything that we tell you to do, exactly how to live your life for 6 months, and you don't find you're the happiest person you could ever imagine you could be, $10,000 richer you will be. So you can't lose. You become supremely happy or you become $10,000 richer. Either way, you have a big grin on your face. So Krishna consciousness is the supreme happiness. Otherwise, I'd be broke. I'd be because I promise this wherever I'm traveling all over the world, and I always promise this. I haven't had to pay the $10,000 even once yet. If this process was bogus, I would be broke. My credit card would be completely, I'd be in the They'd have to arrest me and put me in prison. I'd be absolutely broke. But the fact is, I've never had to pay out the $10,000 once. And the fact is that anybody who takes these instructions that we are giving, they become more opulent, more successful than even Bill Gates. So if you want to become the most opulent, the most successful person, beyond any big materialistic person, the President of the United States, the Prime Minister of Canada, you know, the big wealthy, the beerless, any big people who are successful in this world, if you will seriously practice Krishna consciousness, you'll become millions of times more successful than the biggest names in the newspapers. I guarantee you. Or $10,000 will be yours. So, we can open it up now. Perhaps some of you have some questions. Anyone have a question? Yes, question.
I experience exactly what you say, that since I've been taking Krishna consciousness, my life has become happier and happier, more and more. But I know there's like much more happiness to come in the future if I just continue.
Yes.
But how do you become patient?
Ah.
This.
How do you patiently await the days when pure Krishna bhakti rises in your heart? Well, you should try to speed up the process. Well, one thing is if you can seriously follow our process of chanting 16 rounds, following the four Vedic principles, taking initiation from a bona fide spiritual master, that diksha will greatly empower your progress on the pathway of spiritual perfection. To be initiated by a bona fide spiritual master gives you a very, very powerful connection with the process of Krishna consciousness. Because now you're directly under the protection and blessings and inspiration of a person who is highly advanced in the science of Krishna bhakti. So, in fact, it's stated in the prayers of Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur that by the mercy of the spiritual master one receives the benediction of Krishna. So you have to find a bona fide spiritual master and fully surrender at his lotus feet. And by doing that, then Krishna will just flood you with special blessings. So that's very important. Become fixed in the process, take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master, and by his blessings you'll quickly make progress on the pathway back to Godhead. Hare Krishna. So any other question? I guess everybody else has already self-realized, huh? All the have overcome all the yes. 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 So what's the question? How do you become simple? Yes. Krishna consciousness is simple for the simple, it's difficult for the crooked. And that is also confirmed in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Hai to ki apratiyatha yoyatma supersedati. That devotional service, when it is not done out of any motive, becomes uninterrupted nectar. The key is, don't have any ulterior motive for preserving Krishna. That's the key. Being simple means you don't have anything up your sleeve. That, well, you know, I want to flatter Krishna and get his favor so I can get something for my sense gratification out of him. See, that means you're crooked. If you actually want to get, you may get that thing that you had up your, you know, you may get that material desire fulfilled, but you won't get Krishna. So the key is you have to take up the mood of just completely giving yourself to Krishna. That's simplicity. You bow down at the feet of Guru and Krishna, I simply belong to you, that's all, finished. Do with me as you like. What did Prabhupada say in his arrival prayer? He said, now you have brought me here to this place, now you make me dance, make me dance, make me dance as you like. He told Krishna when he arrived in the United States. So we have to have that mood that I'm just fully surrendering myself to Krishna and to my Guru Maharaj, and they can just make me dance in any way they want. I'm simply under their direction. That is called simple. You have no ulterior motive, no agenda of your own. It's just, my dear Guru Maharaj, my dear Krishna, what is your agenda? Engage me in your agenda, not I have my agenda fulfilled. You give up your own agendas. Just take whatever agenda Guru and Krishna have for you and surrender to them. That is called simple. And that will capture Krishna. You will capture Krishna by that complete total surrender. Krishna is called Ajita. He cannot be conquered. But when you become a simple devotee like that, then for you, Krishna will become Jita. He will be conquered by you. So just imagine if that person who controls and owns absolutely everything is under your control. How you can ever have any problems, any difficulties, you see? That person who owns and controls everything is your personal property. And there's no difficulty in your life. It's impossible. There can be no difficulty. So become a simple devotee without any ulterior motive. Just submit yourself completely to Krishna. My dear Lord, I'm not coming with any motive. I just want to please you by my every thought, my every word, and my every deed. And Krishna will just shower unlimited blessings on you. And you'll be the happiest person in the universe if you do that. Questions more? Oh, I have one policy. And that is, if you don't ask me a question, I will ask you a question. I will pick one of you, interrogate you in front of everyone. So it's easier to ask me the question. Yes?
So you're... Like you say these words, and you're very convinced when you say it. How do you get this conviction?
How am I so convinced that this is true? Well, one reason I'm convinced is it is true. If this wasn't true, why would I be saying it? I'm not being paid to sit here. You see, I'm not being paid. My only pay is the satisfaction of speaking the truth. I mean, I'm not getting anything material out of doing this. You see? If this wasn't true, I wouldn't waste my time speaking it. I'm a lover of truth. I'll tell you frankly, if anybody here in this room can show me a higher truth than Krishna consciousness, I will become their disciple right now. I'll give up Krishna consciousness in a second. If you can prove to me there's something higher than Krishna consciousness, I'll become your disciple. My experience, I've been making this challenge along with the $10,000 offer. I've been making this challenge for many, many years. And no one has even tried to show me something higher truth than Krishna consciousness when I made this challenge. No one has even tried. Everyone has just been silent. And I've been saying this for decades. So if anybody out there has something higher, let me know. But so far, my experience goes, there is no higher truth. And Krishna happens to agree with me. He says, Raja Vidya, Raja Guhyam. He says, this is the highest truth. So it's my practical experience, there's no higher truth. And Krishna confirms it in the Bhagavad Gita. There's no higher truth in this. So, you know, if you can convince me there's a higher truth, then I'll give up my conviction. But until that time, I remain firm in this position of conviction. Because there's a very simple two-word slogan that can help you understand. Truth works. If something is true, it's practical, it's effective. So I can guarantee you this Krishna consciousness process works. I was such a miserable person. Even though I was successful materially in many ways, I had many, many varieties of material success, which I don't need to go into. But in spite of it, there was emptiness, you see. So I was looking to find that which could bring real meaning, purpose, satisfaction, and I searched for years and years. I went to this guru, that guru, this swami, this yogi, this preacher, this place, this author, this philosopher. Again, I looked everywhere. And I finally reached Krishna. And Krishna made it very clear to me that he is indeed the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that Srila Prabhupada is indeed his foremost disciples, you see. So we took advantage of what Krishna revealed to us and we dedicated ourselves to it. And now we want to share this with you. I may die today or tomorrow. The whole world right now is suffering from a lack of Krishna consciousness. So I have dedicated my life until my last day. I don't do anything else. Even though I have a wife and she is here somewhere, Vishnupriya Devi Dasi, my better half, we travel constantly all over the world. Just, we are missionaries. We just travel and give this knowledge. We were in Helsinki, Finland. We were in Estonia, Lithuania, Latvia. We went down to Istanbul. They may be showing a video tonight of how we engage the Muslim people in chanting Hare Krishna after Prashadam. They may be showing that, I've heard. There's a rumor that it might be showed tonight, if there's a popular demand. So we just traveled to give this knowledge because we know that our lives are limited. We're in our 50s now, and you know the time clock is ticking. So while we still have some energy, while we still have the brains to be able to communicate intelligently with people, we have the speaking power, we're dedicating every single ounce of our energy to spreading this knowledge with everybody throughout the world. Because the whole world is suffering right now because of a lack of Krishna consciousness. That's a fact. The whole world is suffering. Krishna consciousness can solve every single problem of this entire planet. So we are dedicating ourselves to do everything we can to spread this knowledge to everybody throughout the world. And Krishna is making it very, very clear to me that this indeed is the absolute truth. It's being married. Krishna is making it very, very clear to me, and therefore I'm absolutely convinced until proven otherwise. But no one's even coming forward. What can I say? Take Krishna consciousness. This is the absolute truth. Questions more? Yes.
Installation of deity, and without installation of deity praying, what's the difference, number one?
Tradition of what?
Installation of deity.
What does he say?
Worshipping at home without it installed, with the deity uninstalled.
Ah, well, actually the deity worship is secondary in the Kali Yuga. The primary worship is Haranama, 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 Iva Kevalam, Kalo Nastava, 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 Gatiran Yata. So if that is going unstrung, that is actually sufficient for liberation. But deity worship will help us, therefore it is accepted and recommended. It will help us become clean, pure, regulated, and will help us to chant the holy names very nicely, because we can chant for the pleasure of the deities. We all know kirtan in front of the deities, it increases in potency. So the deity worship is actually there to increase the potency of the kirtan. That's how we worship deities. So whether that deity, even a photograph one can do. So if one wants to have installed deity in the home, then you must have the same standard here. Especially, of course, Garnitai is one thing, but if you have Radha Krishna deities installed in your home, and you can never stop the worship. I mean, you have to think twice if you want to travel somewhere and you have Radha Krishna deities. You have to take your deities with you and worship them. Three offerings a day at least. So if you want to worship deities and install them, you have to very seriously consider that you have to worship them to the same standard they're being worshipped here. That every day you're dressing them and bathing them. That every day you're cooking at least three offerings for them a day. And you have to really be dedicated. That is actually the standard in Vedic culture. And the householders do keep deities. But if you're going to do it, you have to do it seriously. Don't make a farce out of it. That's what Prabhupada mentions in his teachings. That if you cannot worship at the standard of the temple, then you should come here and participate in this deity worship. You had another question? Yes.
Well, taking advantage of this question, but is there some ontological difference between the temple deity and the home deity, which is not installed?
It's up to the purity of. It's up to your consciousness, really. It's really up to the purity of your own consciousness. If you're a pure devotee of Krishna, you will see Krishna anywhere and everywhere. It's not some mechanical outward thing. It's a matter of your own spiritual advancement. If you're on the highest level of Krishna praying, your home deity will be just as potent as the temple deity. If you're on that level, your consciousness has come to that level. Because Krishna is omnipresent, actually. He's present within every atom, in between every atom. So if you have the pure vision, then you will have equal vision of Krishna here or there. It's the same thing. But the advantage of temple is it forces us to become more selfless, which we need. Home deity, whatever I'm feeding to him is to feed my family, ultimately, you see. So when we come here, we give offering, and we may not get anything for ourselves out of it. So the temple deity is very valuable because here we can, it's easier to be selfless. You may cook an offering for the deities and not even be able to honor one morsel of it. But at home, you make a nice offering, you'll have a nice dinner after the offering, you see. You feed the deity and then you feed yourself. But here, you may make a nice offering and not even get to taste it. And it goes somewhere else because it belongs to Krishna and you're just a servant. So the temple actually helps you to come to the temple is very valuable because it forces you even more than worshiping at home to become selfless. That's the advantage of temple worship. And the temple also is meant to be the place to establish the standard of what is the proper thing. So you, when you worship at home, you'll know what you're supposed to do, how clean you must be, how regulated you must be, how to dress when you're doing the puja, etc. So the temple is a place of training. So the householders, when they worship in their home, they will know how to properly do, not some concocted thing, you know, in the closet, between the hangers. If you really want to worship Krishna in the home, then you have to make a whole nice room for Krishna. How we saw one family, they took the living room and made it the temple. You see? So if you want to worship Krishna in the home, then you do it very, very nicely. First class. And then have regular kirtan programs. Invite the devotees to come to your home. And this way, it becomes a very glorious thing, worshiping at home. Because actually, we want to establish that example that every home should be a temple in the whole world. Every home should be a temple of Krishna. So if you can make your temple into your home into a nice temple, that's very nice. Questions more?
But it should not come like at the cost of like, okay, now I have deities at home, so I ignore temple also.
We have to remember the preaching mission of Srila Prabhupada. Because the whole world is suffering. If we just think, oh, I got my own little home temple now, so forget about it, kiss ISKCON goodbye, you know, Hari Hari Bol, I'm just going to sit here. Then you're actually neglecting the order of Srila Prabhupada. We are meant to work together as a worldwide spiritual family to relieve the whole world from suffering. So this is very good. I'm very happy you brought this point. We should never just, because as I mentioned earlier, to just serve in your own temple, your own deities, it's not as easy to give up selfishness also. We need to come together where we can sacrifice. It's like here, you know, there's the pledges for the Ratha Yatra. I was surprised that the numbers were not very high. Why only 108? Everyone can give more than 108. Why not everyone is not giving 508, you see? There should be increase. Why only 108? 108 is nothing. At least 508 everyone should be giving. Everyone should quit, you know, go five times and say, okay, I'll give an extra 400 now. Everyone should step forward and increase because this is how we become selfless. This is how we purify our hearts. By making sacrifice for Krishna. I mean, just figure out how you can be a little austere right now for the pleasure of Jagannath in your home life. How you can cut back a little bit in your household and give $500 donation for Ratha Yatra. You see, this is, the temple helps us in this way to become more selfless and make actual sacrifice for our personal comforts for the pleasure of Krishna. I mean, I looked at it and I said, what is this? They're only giving 108? What's the problem? Everyone has a lot more than, it's not that they're paupers here. Everyone can easily give 508 if they make a little sacrifice for Krishna. At least 90% can do that. So in this way, the temple is a very good place to help us become selfless. Give up our, you know, sacrifice some of our own sense enjoyment so Krishna can be more glorified and thousands of people can see Lord Jagannath in his full splendor in a wonderful, beautiful festival that will purify the whole North American continent, actually. You see, Nantrial is a very strategic place. This is where Krishna consciousness was first introduced to the West. You know that this is the first place where Krishna consciousness entered the Western world. So you must have the most glorious Ratha Yatra here in Nantrial. The most glorious Ratha Yatra. So yes, the temple worship we do to purify ourselves when we're at home, because you're living at home, you want to have a very pure atmosphere. And then take that purity that you've gotten, that enthusiasm, and bring it to the temple. So everybody, and share it with everyone, that enthusiasm for devotional service. Bring it to the temple, chant with enthusiasm, show, yes, I'm giving $1,000 for the Ratha Yatra. You see? In this way, use the enthusiasm of worshiping at home to come and make the temple even more glorious. Not that, oh, now I have my own worship, so I forget the temple. Then you're just, it's a greed, greediness in the name of Krishna Bhakti. Selfishness. Yeah?
You were just mentioning actually that one should not have any exterior motives to be like and purify, and then that's the only way we can attain Krishna. But like for example, like Dhruva Maharaj, when he was worshipping Krishna because he wanted the higher and bigger kingdom then, but when he met Krishna, By seeing he got purified and he did not want it.
Mm-hmm. So what's the question?
Question is like that, he had to have exterior motive before.
Yes.
But sometimes people ask this question that how Dhruva Maharaj had that exterior motive and afterwards.
Okay, what's the question then?
And that's the question, that how can he has an exterior motive and he can still attain Krishna?
Well, he did not attain Krishna until he gave up that ulterior motive. He actually, that does happen sometimes. There was also a thief. You know that thief? Papa gives the story of the thief. There was one thief, he just happened to wander by a Bhagavad discourse. And the Bhagavad preacher was saying that Krishna, he is decorated, he is laden with beautiful, costly jewels, and he lives in Vrindavan forest. So this thief, he said, oh, there's a little boy who's loaded with valuable jewels, and he just wanders around the forest, Vrindavan. Where is this Vrindavan? They said, well, it's this part of India. He said, I'm going. So the thief headed out for Vrindavan. Where is this little boy who's loaded with jewels? So he wandered for many, many days, and he finally got to Vrindavan. So he's wandering around all the forests of Vrindavan. Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? I can steal his jewels. Where is he? Where is he? Where is he? And actually Krishna, he became so intense, even though he had a material desire to steal Krishna's jewels, he became so intense. Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? That Krishna, Prabhupada explains, Krishna actually appeared to him. And you know what he said when Krishna came? He said, Krishna, can I have some of your jewels? He said, Krishna, you're so nicely decorated with all these jewels. Can I have some? And so Krishna, he said, oh, no, no, no. Mother Jasoda will scold me. I cannot give. I will be chastised by Jasoda. No, I cannot give. He said, Krishna, he was pleading, oh, Krishna, you please give me. And then actually, he became purified by the association with Krishna. He became a pure devotee. And then Krishna said, all right, you can take. So, even if you have material desire, if you approach Krishna with great intensity, then you will forget that material desire, because the intensely approaching Krishna becomes so sweet and so relishable that just the intensity of approaching Krishna becomes more wonderful than anything you could ever have in this material world. So even if you want something material, you should become completely dedicated to Krishna to get that material desire fulfilled. And that intensity, if you become very, very, very intense, like the thief or like Dhruva, to get that material desire fulfilled, after some time, just your intense absorption in Krishna will become more pleasurable than that thing you were after. And you'll forget that thing you were after. As Dhruva said, I was searching for a broken piece of glass, but now I've obtained the rarest gem. So whether you want to merge into Brahman, or whether you want to have all material desires fulfilled, or you want bhakti, Bhagavatam says you should approach Krishna. But you have to do it with great intensity, like the thief or like Dhruva. Otherwise you won't taste the nectar of Krishna consciousness. Don't do it haphazardly. If you want to approach Krishna like that, then do it with great intensity. And you realize that this approaching Krishna is more ecstatic than the thing I was after. So forget that, what I was after.
Like Kamsa was also doing Vais Krishna, but his intensity became so strong that he hardly...
Yeah, but he wanted to kill Krishna, Kamsa.
But he was thinking so much of Krishna.
Yeah, that's also there. That's another way to get liberated. You can become an enemy of Krishna. And Krishna will kill you and then you get liberation. But if you want to do that, you have to become a very, very big enemy of Krishna. You can't be a small-time enemy. So if you're not able to be as big an enemy as Ravana or Kamsa, then just become a pure devotee of Krishna. That's the best program. So we thank you all very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna.